In chapter 8, Vimalakirti explains the way to attain the qualities of a Buddha. Manjushri, for his part, explains in what the family of the Buddha consists. And they both speak in highly paradoxical terms. So highly paradoxical, I'm not even going to repeat them. Later, a bodhisattva asks Vimalakirti about his mother and father, his children, his wife, his servants, and so on. In India, as those of you who've been there know, people always want to know this sort of thing about you. Who's your mother? Who's your father? Where are they? Are you married? What's your wife's name? How many children have you got? So it's as though a bodhisattva, even a bodhisattva, puts this sort of question to Vimalakirti about his mother and father, his children, his wife. Where are they? So Vimalakirti replies in a long series of verses which form one of the most beautiful passages in the entire work. He says that the bodhisattva's mother is the perfection of wisdom. It's from the perfection of wisdom that he's been born. It's by the perfection of wisdom that he's nurtured, nourished. And his father is skillful means. His wife is the delight in the Dharma. He doesn't need a wife. He doesn't need any companion of that sort. He delights in the Dharma. And his daughters are love and compassion. And his sons are righteousness and truth. And as for his home, as for his house, that is meditation on the meaning of the void. And in this way he goes on and on and on for 40 or 50 verses. It's a very, very beautiful passage indeed. Chapter 9 deals with the question of non-duality. Vimalakirti asks all the bodhisattvas present to give their ideas about non-duality, and they all do so in turn. And then they ask Manjushri what his explanation of non-duality is. He says they've all spoken well, but their explanations are all dualistic. Non-duality, he says, cannot be expressed at all. And then Manjushri asks Vimalakirti for his explanation. And Vimalakirti remains completely silent. And this, of course, is the famous thunder-like silence of Vimalakirti. So non-duality will be the theme of the sixth talk on the way to non-duality. But I shall, however, be actually saying something. I shan't be imitating Vimalakirti for an hour or so. In chapter 10, we come relatively down to earth. Shariputra starts getting worried about the midday meal. After all, monks are not supposed to eat after 12 o'clock. You've never been a monk, so you don't know how important this is. So Vimalakirti knows what Shariputra is thinking. After all, he's got that magical power too. So he performs a magical feat. He conjures up a magically formed bodhisattva, a beautiful young bodhisattva, golden in colour. And he sends him in the direction of the zenith, that is to say, right up and up to a Buddha land called Fragrant with All Fragrances. And that bodhisattva, that magically created, that magically formed bodhisattva, comes back with a vessel containing fragrant ambrosia. And with him come back from that Buddha land 92 million bodhisattvas, all into Vimalakirti's house. And the ambrosia, strange to say, is sufficient for the whole assembly. And there's even some left over. So in reply to a question by Vimalakirti, the bodhisattvas who've come from that Buddha land, called Fragrant with All Fragrances, say that the Buddha of that land does not teach Dharma by means of sound and language. He teaches it by means of perfume. So the theme of our seventh talk will be the mystery of human communication. In chapter 11, the scene changes back again to Amrapali's park, where the Buddha is teaching. Those disciples who did not accompany Manjushri on his visit to Vimalakirti. And while he's teaching, the whole park suddenly becomes larger. And everything in it becomes tinged with a beautiful golden colour. So the Buddha tells Ananda that Vimalakirti and Manjushri are coming from Vaishali with the whole great assembly. Whereupon they all arrive. And the Buddha proceeds to explain that different Buddhas teach the Dharma in different ways, yet their enlightenment and their spiritual realizations are all the same. And he also speaks at length on the emancipation entitled the destructible and the indestructible. In chapter 12, Vimalakirti explains how he sees the Buddha. Sariputra wants to know where Vimalakirti comes from. And the Buddha tells him that Vimalakirti comes from Abhivati, the Buddha land of the Buddha Akshobhya, in the eastern direction. So, of course, everyone wants to see Abhivati. So the Buddha asks Vimalakirti to show it to them. So Vimalakirti does this by means of his magic power. Everybody sees the Buddha land of Akshobhya, Abhivati, which means great delight. In chapter 13, we're coming very nearly to the end now. In chapter 13, Indra, the king of the gods, praises the teaching of the inconceivable emancipation and promises to protect the Dharma. The Buddha then relates how he himself practiced the Dharma in a previous existence. He describes, in fact, the teachings he received from the Buddha of those days called Vaishajaraja. And among these teachings is the teaching of the four reliances. One, that one should rely on the meaning of the Dharma and not on the literal expression. Two, that one should rely on wisdom and not on ordinary consciousness. Three, that one should rely on ultimate teachings and not on provisional teachings. And four, that one should rely on principles and not on personalities. We'll be studying these in the eighth and last talk, which will be on the four great reliances, criteria for the spiritual life. In chapter 14, the Buddha entrusts his teaching of supreme enlightenment to Maitreya, the future Buddha. Maitreya promises to protect the Dharma, especially the present exposition. On all the bodhisattvas, promise likewise, as do the four great kings, that is to say, the guardians of the four quarters of the universe. Ananda, who of course thinks of everything, inquires by what name this exposition of the Dharma is to be known. The Buddha tells him, and the scene, the text, the sutra closes amidst general rejoicings. Everybody is happy. Everybody is overjoyed. Everybody is uplifted. Everybody is transformed. Everybody has advanced on the path as a result of hearing all these wonderful things. Such then is the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. This is the sort of ground we shall be covering in the course of the next 8 or 9 weeks. These are the themes with which we shall be dealing. And by the time we've done this, we should have some experience of the magic of a Mahayana Sutra.